Jonah chapter 3. How many of y'all are excited to come to the house of God tonight?
Amen.
How many of you said yeah because I was looking right at you? Amen. All right, sorry about that. I get so excited. This has been a good series. But tonight could be a little painful. Amen. And when I first came in tonight, I came in and me and Earl were talking, and Earl shared something with me. He said that he went and heard a preacher who was 110 years old preached this message. And I don't know if he was trying to say that the guy was preaching better than I was at 110, but I don't know. Maybe he wasn't saying that. I'm just kidding. But what he was saying was a point that I had thought about so many times, but we're going to kind of look into that tonight. He was talking about Jonah when he got out of the well, and we all know that, you know, some of us wanted him out of the well so bad here, right? Well, Jonah got out of the well, and to the point, and I believe this with all my heart too, is he ran to Nineveh. I believe that. I believe he didn't take a shower, he didn't take a bath, he didn't clean himself up, didn't get any of that stuff off him. He ran right to Nineveh to do what God had called him to do. And I believe that. But in that, we're going to look at that. We're going to magnify that and blow that up a little bit tonight too. Do we run real fast after our well experience, but yet slow down after we realize that it's over? The well experience is over. I'm not suffering. I'm not going through it. I'm not going down, down, down. I'm not covered in seaweed. I'm not in a dark place. God has released me, and at first I ran like crazy for the Lord. Has anybody in here had a real overwhelming experience that got your attention back on God, and you jumped, and God didn't have to tell you to go fast. You went as hard as you could. You told everybody about God. You've done everything you can do. But what about today? What about now? Where are we at now? Are we still running hard? Are we still going after it like we did when God released us out of that dark place? I got another question for you. Did God get everything out of you that He was trying to get out of you when you were in the well? Was He trying to get more out of you than you let Him get out of you? I just asked a big question. Y'all are sitting there like, I don't know. I'm saying, listen, sometimes we can get out of the well, but we can't get us out of us. Y'all excited now? And the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And we know what the preaching was. It was repentance. It's always been repentance.
Amen.
Jesus came preaching repentance. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Repentance is the only way to be saved. But I tell you this, He didn't want them to get saved. He didn't want them to change. He was just redirected. His position was changed because he finally got on track with what God wanted him to do, but he didn't go down there wanting to see souls saved or lives changed. He was just changed directions. Amen? Now, I'm not on the Jonah. I'm just telling you, there's some things you're going to have to do. Amen? I bumped my head against this so many times. This message is different to me now as I've gotten older in ministry. And I thought, why didn't God just use somebody else? Amen? Why didn't He just let Jonah be caught up in the storm? And why didn't He tap another? Why didn't He get another minister to go to Nineveh who would want to go? I hate to tell you this, but if you signed up and you wrote a check to God, you say you're a child of His, and you said you would do what He told you to do, He's going to get it out of you one way or the other. Now listen, I'm not talking about your salvation. If you're not saved, that's a free gift. You receive it. But once you receive it, you also receive the full authority of God in your life. And that's good and bad, but it's mostly good. It just takes you a while to figure it out. Amen? By the way, I didn't see Kyle earlier. Tonight on this message, what I want the title of this is Are You Mad, Bro? Man. Now I lost. Now I've got the millennials in my pocket right there, and maybe some dudes that are about 30 to 35 who still think they're cool, but everybody else I just lost. I'm like, what in the world title is that? You're going to have to trust me. Amen? I didn't see Kyle. That's why I tell him the message. So he puts it out on the internet for me. Are you mad? Jonah, are you mad, bro? You got it? All right, good. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, when I first started preaching this, I thought that read like this. Nineveh was a 3 day journey away and Jonah made it in 1 day. That's what I thought it meant. When I first read that, I used to preach it that way too. And I said, man, Jonah made a 3 day journey in 1 day. He turned into the Flash. Amen? He broke the land speed record. No, this is what it is. Nineveh is a city that it would take you 3 days to walk across of it. And when Jonah, now listen, there's still a great message here, because when Jonah hit, when his foot stepped foot in Nineveh, when he seen the city line, when he said the sun, welcome to Nineveh, we're going to cut your head off. Amen. Hey, when he stepped into that, he started telling them, 40 days. You got 40 days. And you are all going to die. 40 days. And I mean, he started at the city line and walked all the way into the country, all the way into that great city, preaching this. And he was excited, because God had turned his world upside down and caused him to go where he didn't want to go. And now he's there and he wants God to destroy Nineveh. Because he didn't care about Nineveh. He didn't care when he first got the word, hey, people were dying over there. And if we're not careful, we can get this same way. We kind of feel like we got front row seats to watch the end of the world, yet we don't care it's the end of the world. Amen? I care about the end of the world. I care about people. Amen? I don't really care how comfortable I am in the church. I don't care that I can tell somebody I go to church if I know in the end they are going to go into hell. Now, can I preach? And I'm just going to give you some examples of what I've been reading lately. Lately, I just come out of Jeremiah into Ezekiel. Amen? Now see, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Did y'all know that? He's called the weeping prophet because he prophesied to a people who would never hear him. Now listen, if you ever aspire to be a preacher, some of you preachers need to write this down. All right, don't then. Derek, you write it down. Amen? If you're looking to be famous, if you're looking to be popular, if you're looking for people to love you, don't start preaching. Amen? Amen. Listen, when Jeremiah got the call, you know what they said? When you get the call, when you're going to preach, nobody, nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to be converted. Nobody's going to believe you. They're going to sit. Listen, this God, how it kind of explained. He said, they're going to set their face like a rock against you. Amen. How about them apples? Oh, golly bum. I wish I had some people in here that could be real for me. Nobody likes to be rejected every time. Nobody wants to just be shut down every time. Jeremiah, preach. They go, hey, go get Jeremiah. We need to hear. We got all these goofballs telling us it's going to be great and grand and everything's going good. That sound familiar? God, never mind. Prosperity now. Everybody's going to be rich. Everybody's going to do great. Do this, do that. It's going to be great. If you get the best parking lot, great, great, great. Right? Go get Jeremiah. 40 preachers in there. 140 preachers in there. One Jeremiah. How are things going to go? The nation from the north are going to come in here and they're going to kill all of everybody. Amen? And the ones they don't kill, they're going to take you into captivity. And the ones they don't take you into captivity will die of pestilence. And God will leave a small remnant. Put him in the dungeon. Don't feed him. Amen? They put him down into the muck and mire. They put him down chest deep. I mean, I hung him down there. And somebody remembered, hey, there's a prophet in the slime under the king's palace. Somebody want to go get him? We need a word. Oh, man. I was so excited to come here tonight, Scott. Could you imagine if they had to go get you to preach a message and they had to pull you out of a slime pit to preach it? would you change your message? God, would you change your message? Maybe you get out of trouble if you change your message. Maybe you get some good food if you change your message. Maybe the king will say, man, you're the best preacher. Got him out of there. Hey, things are not looking good. These other prophets are saying a bunch of different stuff. What do you say now? Have you changed your message since we've changed your comfort level? No. This is going to go down, and for you it's going to be real bad. You're going to make it, but they're probably going to burn your eyes out. Get this guy out of my sight. Amen? Some of y'all say, why are you telling us all this information about Jeremiah? Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, not because everybody rejected him. It's because he got to see the whole nation go into captivity and it broke his heart. He's seen women and children and men killed. He's seen families destroyed. He's seen a once great nation fall to nothing. And he was more upset about that and how they treated him. I don't get upset how we get treated as Christians. I get upset because I know there's going to be thousands and millions go off into hell. And if you could see one go off, you would never let another one go. We forget what the stakes are. We call ourselves Christians, we say we're worried, and we let people die and go off into eternity and really just don't care. Unless it affects us directly sometimes. Get a broken heart for lost people. I swear, if you get broken over lost people, God will put you in some of the most obscure places, but you will see people's lives changed. Amen. And you won't regret it. Amen. Jeremiah, I won't go to Jeremiah. Jonah, he's preaching the gospel, but something happens. Have you ever thought, well, ain't nothing going to help them? Go ahead, be honest. Nobody going to help him. He's gone too far. She's gone too far. Check this out. So the people of Nineveh, verse 5, believe God and provoke. Oh, gosh, slow down, kid. So the people of Nineveh believed and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. You know what's ironic about this? How many times did they have to hear the message? Okay, once. How many times did Jonah have to hear his? Ain't that awesome? When somebody's super spiritual and even got a title, amen? Yet when God tells them to do something, it takes them a well experience and it takes them a second time of hearing it to go and tell somebody who they're supposed to be rescuing, and you tell them one time and they believe God at His Word. That's good. I love I don't know why. God's got a sense of humor, Derek. He does. He's got a sense of humor. You know why? Because He sends people like me to preach at churches because I like interaction. And y'all don't. I feed off of it. I love it. I'm like, yeah. And God's like, ha ha, just keep preaching. Amen? Amen, brother. I love this stuff. Amen? This is what, I mean, I just love how the Scriptures are, I mean, man, this is me. I mean, sometimes I think a lot about me, but somebody, I think, well, we're in a third world country in Africa. Yeah, you tell them one time, guess what they do? I believe. And I'll tell the rest of my countrymen, even if it costs me my life. Amen? Golly, we have to hear it 1,000 times. Some of you are sitting on these pews for the 50th time and you still ain't believed it yet. You're still messing around with God. You're still like, I don't know if I'm going to surrender everything or not. I don't know if I should give Him everything. I don't know if I could trust Him. You're still wanting to rely on your sin, and your sins let you down every time. Write this down if you take notes. Every time you sin, you're saying, God, you're not God, I am. That didn't cost you nothing. That's free. Look at this, verse 6. Not only did they listen, but they did something. You need to write this down. If you're hearing this message and it's penetrating your heart and you're trying to act like it ain't, you're acting to be crazy cool and you're just going to be like, I ain't going to let that affect me because I got something else going on. Hey, just let this log around in your mind. Just make a mental note right here. And you come back when you get alone, when you can be yourself, you know how you are tender-hearted towards the Lord and God really pricks your heart. But here you can't. You got to be super cool. But when you get alone, let this narrow thing down. Listen, if you've ever repented, when you repent of something, when you ask God to forgive you, say, look what Nineveh did. When Nineveh heard it, for the word came unto King Nineveh, verse 6, he arose from the throne, he laid his robe from him and covered him it with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it, verse 7, he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast or herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. Never mind. You don't think is that a little bit radical? Who is that? Is that the king of Nineveh? Is that not awesome? Okay, let me explain it this way, because I told you I'd write this down and make sure you took a mental note. Here, take this note. If you got true repentance, things, here you go, you ready? Here it is. Things will change. Now listen, if you say you're sorry, that's saying you're sorry. But if you say you're sorry with no repentance, then tomorrow things will not change. Man? That's a big difference in our church. Sometimes we say, I went up to the altar and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me. Yeah, and did you repent? Yeah. Okay, but did you do it again? Yes. Well, you didn't repent. Nothing's changed. No. See, listen, you know what they did? They changed everything where they could find out what needed to be changed. Write that down. They changed everything. I'm preaching better than y'all. Amen and right there. They changed everything, Derek, until they figured out what God wanted them to change. Oh, gosh. We won't eat. We won't drink. We will change our clothes. We'll put sackcloth and ash on. We'll get down in the dirt and pray. And we'll figure out, God, we're going to debase ourselves. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to figure out what you are. We believe that you're going to destroy us. But we don't know exactly what for. But we don't want to be destroyed. So we will go. We will tear it down. We will make ourselves a zero to you. And you just show us what to do next. God. Some of y'all are wondering, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I get better? How do I get God's attention? Tear it all down. Break it all down. Throw it all to the side. Get low and say, God, here I am. I don't know what's bothering you and me, but everything's gone. Now start. Woo! That might get a revival started around here. You know, this is one of the greatest revivals ever recorded in the Bible. This is not one or two people. This is a whole nation. This is a city that takes you 3 days to cross. It's like New York City. Listen to this. But then the leader, the king, the president. Golly bump, could you imagine if our president, no, I can't imagine it, but I would like to. What if they took off their suits and their cloth and put on sackcloth and ash and said, God, we have passed ungodly laws against you. We are sorry. What if they took all their laws and laid them on the floor of the House and Senate and prayed and said, God, help us rewrite everything we believe until we are a godly nation again, because we believe you will destroy us. We would freak out. Because right now as a country, we're trying to pick from the lesser of two evils. I hate that. I hate that as an American, that I've got to make a decision between this evil or that evil. I want good or greater. I want God. Things are going to change if you repent. They are. You can't have repentance without change. What you have is, I'm sorry I got caught. You need to write that down. If you're not willing to do some stuff when you are in trouble with God, then you're just sorry you got caught. You're sorry for the consequences. I'm sorry that I had to pay the fine. I'm sorry that I got put in jail. I'm sorry that I got kicked out of my house. I'm sorry that I had to do this. God, I'm so sorry. Well, if you're sorry, you need to change. If you're really sorry, godly sorrow will change you. And you know what? Nobody else will have to tell you. You'll do it yourself. Nobody told the king to do that. Nobody told the people of Nineveh to do that. They just believed God. God really gets a hold of you. You don't have to explain to people why it happened. You just got to tell them, sit back and see. Sit back and watch. Behold, all things are new. That behold part is a big word, because it don't say, listen, all things are new. It says, behold, just look at it. When I got saved, I didn't tell Melissa. I said, listen, let me tell you this story of how things are going to be better. She had heard that story already. Amen? Man, this gets good, don't it? Verse 8, but let man and beast... Can I just say one more thing right there? Yes, I can. You're a captive audience right now. They didn't even let the animals eat. Man, I bet the animals are, what do we do? We ain't the wicked ones. Yeah, but the sheep ain't eating, the goat ain't eating, cow ain't eating. They're serious. They're cutting themselves off to their flesh. Write that down. A true repentance. When you truly fast and seek the Lord, you will cut your flesh off. That's old-fashioned preaching. I don't even know why I said that. We got millennials in here. They won't even stop eating fast food every day, all day. Nah, that's me too. I'm talking to me. I'm preaching to me. Listen what they say. Listen. What they do? They put on sackcloth and ash. What they do? They made their outward flesh uncomfortable. Amen? Sometimes you're going to have to make your outside flesh uncomfortable. That means you can't buy everything all the time, put new stuff on all the time. You got to say, take a period of time. I ain't talking about all the time. And that money you was going to spend on that new coat, that new jacket, that new clothes, those new shoes, that new whatever. God, and I got my brand new shoes on tonight too, Scott. No. God's hitting me hard. What you got to do is you got to turn that away and take that money and buy for somebody that doesn't have anything. Amen? Take that $100 and don't begrudge it. Don't sit there and go, oh, they'll probably just drink it up. They'll probably smoke it up. Or they'll just buy some shoes they don't need like I did. Amen? And I don't know what I'm preaching, but man, this is good. Amen. So then they started inflicting the inward man. I ain't going to eat nothing. I won't drink nothing. And listen, some of y'all are sitting there going, oh, I can't fast. I'm just, fast a meal. Fast a meal. Set your physical food aside, your physical water aside for a meal. Maybe two meals, maybe three meals. Whatever God puts on your heart. Don't get too radical. Because if you do, when you push that food away, God might fill you up spiritually. And you might be fuller than you've ever been full in your life. Amen. We're scared. We got real strict back laws. I mean, we come out, was it Methodist and Baptist and we got some real serious. We're serious about our church here, right? We don't want to talk. We don't want to get radical. We don't want to talk about, hey, let's put this aside and let God fill us up. Because man, can God do that?
Amen.
I think He can. But when you skip that meal, two meals, three meals, whatever God puts on your heart, you know what you do with that food? Yeah, you guessed it. Feed somebody else. Find somebody else that's hungry and feed them with it. And when that time comes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, when you're starving and you can't think of anything else, you know what you do? That's when you go pray. Right at lunchtime, you pray. Say, God, I'm hungry. I ain't never done this, God. I've never set my flesh aside. I've never been this hungry, Lord. I should eat. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go in there and say, God, I don't want to be hungry. I'm not just hungry for my physical food. I'm more hungry for You. I want You to invade my life, Lord. I'm starving, but I'm not starving for the world. I'm starving for You. Jesus, another great revival that's in the Bible, I don't know if you know this or not, started when Jesus was hungry. Did you know that? He was at a well. Remember? I love that message. You know why? That message reminds me every single time of the disciples. He had all 12 of them. You know what He did with them? He had 12 disciples. And He said, I'm hungry. He said, will you guys go down into town and get me something to eat? Derek, that's cool, ain't it? All 12 of them could go get something to eat for Jesus. You know, boys, I don't need you here. I need to send all 12 of you on a Burger King run. Just go down there and get me some fish or something. All of you. Could you see all of them going too? They think they was the best. John, you watch me. I'm going to come back a double whopper. Well, I'm going to get a triple whopper. Well, I'm going to get a whatever whopper. I'm coming back with all of them. Thomas is like, we probably won't get any whoppers. It'll probably be closed. We always got one of them, right? When they come back, the girl was saved. Her life was changed. She went back down into the town of Samaria and preached the gospel. All them people came up. She didn't preach the gospel. Went down and shared her testimony. The whole city of Samaria come and got saved. And Jesus was hungry. But when they got back, they said, hey, here, Jesus, here's your food. And they're like, hey, he said, I'm not hungry. What? thought you were hungry. That's why you sent us. Well, I was hungry, but I have food that you know not of. Amen? I've got food that you don't know about. Where's it at? Where did it come from? Doing God's will when I was hungry. Amen? You good? So all these Ninevites are just blowing Jonah's mind because they won't eat, they won't drink, and they're wearing sackcloth and ash. Put dirt all over their heads. Verse 10, and God saw their works. Oh, it's crazy. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Hallelujah. Man, a whole city that takes 3 days to walk across. Could you imagine all the thousands, if not millions of people that lived there were going to survive? They repented. That's true repentance. I told you about that. Chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to try to get a little bit further than that. I hope you don't mind. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. What? Now listen, remember when we got here, Earl? Remember, he ran to the city of Nineveh. He went there and he preached and he expected a certain result. Preachers, be careful with respecting a certain result. God's working, not us. Amen. Sometimes I want results. God says, I'm working on it. It's like a Polaroid. You want an iPhone picture, I'm working Polaroid style. No. Matter better, I'm working darkroom style. Amen. I'm developing it. You want an instant, I'm developing it. I want a message that changes you for the rest of your life, not 5 minutes on a Sunday service. I don't want emotions. God don't want your emotions. He wants your heart. He wants you forever. Amen? He's so mad because He didn't do what He wanted Him to. You ever been mad at God because He won't do what you want Him to do? Well, you better hang on because it's going to be a long Christian walk for you and me. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, and I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness and repentance. It repenteth thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Are y'all not seeing the crazy thing that happened? He begged God. He's got the whole chapter 2 is nothing but him singing praises unto God because He saved him. He almost says verbatim, if you check out the words exactly, in verse 8 he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. That same mercy he's talking about right up here when he says, and mercy. Full, slow to anger. And merciful, slow to anger. Same thing. Oh, never mind. God, I love this. This is going to be a plow. You got it? You know, some people can say spiritual things and it don't mean nothing. Oh, never. There'll be people, if you're not careful, they'll tell you something that's totally opposite of what God's doing and it sounds spiritual. Well, he said a good thing. Oh God, I know you're full of grace and mercy and quick to love people and help people. Amen. That's not what he feels. That's not what he's wanting. He's wanting them to destroy Nineveh. Why is he wanting to destroy Nineveh? Because he thought it was always God's plan to destroy Nineveh. He didn't even think it was worth going to Nineveh to preach to them. Just go ahead and destroy them. But God says, I can't. Oh, man. I can't destroy anybody that I haven't ministered to. Some of you are wondering why you keep getting drugged to church. It's because God's ministering to you. He's trying to save you before He destroys you. Before you destroy yourself. He's mad and he's upset. But God says, if anybody repent, I'll save anybody. Amen. Amen. We got to realize that. God's out to save everybody. And you know who he actually is out to save? The people we say, he'll never want him. I guarantee you, that's God's top 10 list. That's exactly who He wants. You know why He likes to save people like that? Because it really ticks the devil off. Amen? I guarantee you, the devil's got a list of people that he sets back probably and says, that one's mine, no doubt. God ain't ever going to get him. And when God does, hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I met a man named Nick on death row with my dad. I remember the day. I was nervous. I was a young preacher, and dad said, you want to go death row with me? And I wanted to say no, but I couldn't. Never mind. There's some men in here. You better square up with me. But, I mean, I was like, one, I'm a minister. Two, it would be cool, but it's still death row. They call it that for a reason. Amen? I like when people say, your dad, he's a minister in prison. Yeah, on death row, one-on-one, face-to-face, every single day with the most vicious killers in the state of Tennessee. I'm like, Dad, I'm glad God put you there, but He never put me there. Oh, here I am, opening my mouth. But anyway, I went with him. I went with him, door to door, till I met a man named Nick. I want to say something, but I'm not sure. He opened that door, and I looked at him, and he said, are you Ronnie's son? I said, I am, because I've heard all about you. He said, I pray for you. He said, man, I heard you doing great things for the Lord. I said, I'm trying. Now, you know, took my guard down a little bit. He's like, man, he goes, can I pray with you, and will you pray for me? I said, I'd love to pray for you. He prayed for me. What a wonderful prayer. And I started praying for him, and he said, before you do, don't pray for God to get me out of here. He said, because I don't think God's ever going to get me out of here because the things that I've done, I'm guilty of. But what I would like to have is peace. He said, I know Jesus, but I want some peace from the things that I've done. But I don't only want peace for myself, but I want peace for the people that I've done them to. Can I give you all a little bit of background on Nick, just real quick? When Nick came to Riverbend, every prisoner on death row was scared. Oh, man, I'll say it again. Every prisoner on death row was scared. They all wrote a petition to the warden and said, this man should not be allowed to come here. He is a killer. Death row, we're all killers. Hello? He said, this is the meanest man in the state of Tennessee. The warden, in the 17 years, 15 years my dad was in that ministry, never called my dad up to the office, ever. Good godly man. Calls him up to the office, sits my dad down and says, listen, Ronnie, you have full reign in this prison. You do whatever you want to do. Go wherever you want to go. He said, but listen, this guy's different. He's a killer. He'll kill you more than look at you. Don't let your guard down. My dad said, sounds like a good one we need to administer to. The man just shakes his head. Did I tell you who I was standing in front of his door? Maybe 4 or 5 years later? Nick, the one that everybody was afraid of. Guess what? He's praying for me, and I'm praying for him. And guess what? The warden calls my dad back up to the office 4 or 5 years later and says, Ronnie, I believe in Jesus. He said, but now, I really believe if he can change that man, he can change anybody because that one I never seen coming. You hear me? So God, He's in the business of saving people. That we even, and I know we don't do it in here, we won't do it right now, but there are some people we kind of say like, nah, they're not important to God. They're not, what it really comes down to is we're not important to us. I want to save him anyway. He's sitting up here. I want to get this and I'm going to be done. Watch this. Now, when I said God has a sense of humor, He does. Verse 4. In verse 3, He begs him to die. He's so mad. He said, just kill me. Because, not because he's doing something crazy, it's because he's saving people's lives that he didn't want to be saved, and number two, that he had preached that God was going to do something else. Oh, here we go. That makes him wrong in his eyes. What's this? Verse 4, and we're going to end, I promise. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? You angry, bro? No, I wanted to say it so bad. You angry, bro? Could you? That's God. That's my God. Man, I've been working on that forever. That's the coolest thing ever, man. God, you, Jonah, are you angry? Good. Do you good to be a little angry? Remember how, God, you're a preacher. I love it. Hey, remember me when I just asked you to do something? Sit there in it. Get all stewed up. Get all mad. Get all angry. Feel the emotions. And realize I loved you and I saved you. And Nineveh made me mad. And they were doing a bunch of stuff and I was going to destroy them. But they repented. I love them. And I'm painting a picture. There's people who make me angry. And I want to do something to them. But I have something about me. It's called mercy and grace. And I want to save people more than I want to kill them. Let's all stand up. Can you see Jonah in you? Can you see the Jonah in you right here? Can you see it? You see sometimes how God rescues us? Please get a song, somebody. How God rescues us from our well moment. You know, God corrects us. And we promise Him everything. We run. We come out of the gate like a bull, running wide open.
Amen.
But then, when He don't do it the way we thought He was going to do it, when He don't save like we was going to save, He didn't change the ones we wanted to change, He didn't do it on our time frame, we're pitching a fit. We forgot where we came from. We forgot. We forgot that we were in the well. We forgot that we were in need of mercy. We were in need of grace. And sometimes we forget when it's time for somebody else to get some. You ever looked at somebody and they're sitting there begging for the Lord and you're sitting there going, I don't even know if I want to talk to you. You know, it hurt my feelings, made me mad. God, I love Jonah. I love this story. I love how it breathes. But this part, it brings my ugly out. It does. Because sometimes I get to thinking, maybe this stuff's all, it's about what I want to do. It's all about what God wants to do. God spoke to your heart in any part of this message. Hey, come seek the Lord. Especially on that part about true repentance, guys. Maybe you've told God you're sorry about some stuff a lot of times. But if things ain't changed, you need to come and tell him you're going to change some stuff as they play.